Hey, this is Jamie O'Brien. You're listening to Surf Talk Radio.
And you're back with Surf Talk Radio. Right now, my guest is Jason Joyce. He's the winemaker at Calcareous. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So he's taking part of the series I've got going, Winemakers and Surfers, or Surfers That Make Wine, or I haven't even really figured out a name for it yet, so we're just going to let it fly, all right? The first thing I want to start with is, you know, for me, this whole project has been that winemakers and the wine industry remind me of the surf industry, because I used to do nothing but the surf industry, and now I do mostly the wine industry, and I find similarities that people are sort of artistic, and they're a little bit earthier. Yeah, it's a business, and yeah, they have to make things happen, but when it's time to surf, they go surf. When it's time to have a good time, people in the wine industry know how to have a good time. There's very similarities. But I guess the first thing I want to ask you is, when you got in the wine industry, did you start surfing because you moved to California, or where were you in your surfing abilities when you got here?
Oh, when I moved to California?
Yeah.
Zero. I was from Detroit, Michigan. So, you know, Lake Huron, that's on the east side of the state. So it's not like Lake Michigan.
But you know what? There's a surf club in Lake Superior, surf club.
Yeah, so yeah. The other lakes, but Lake Huron, not much of a surf scene in Lake Huron.
Needs a bigger fetch, huh?
Yeah, just on the, where it lines up to where you are.
Yeah.
But my surfing started once I got to California, and basically once I got to college specifically in Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo.
But your background before Cal Poly was chemistry, right?
Well, I went to Cal Poly to be a chemistry major.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, so winemaking was not in my ideas at all what my future held for me.
Wow. I love that, actually. So then how did it get into winemaking?
Well, because I fell in love with the Central Coast, and I loved being here, and part of that was surfing. It was just a wonderful place to live, and a peaceful kind of existence you get living here. But there came a time where it was time to grow up and get a real job. My degree was chemistry, and at the time, the Bay Area is where more chemistry jobs are available. So moved to the Bay Area and lived in San Francisco for 5 years. Was working my way up in the biotech realm, looking to transfer to one of the big boys eventually. I was at a small startup. And once I quit, I felt like I was going to move on to I built my resume up, so let's quit. And before I jump back into the lab and back into the chemistry lifestyle, let's go back to the Central Coast and have some good Central Coast living, be outdoors. Had friends that went into the wine industry from college, and they got me an internship just to work a harvest. And what was supposed to be a 3-month break from the city and from chemistry has now turned into the slow climb to now winemaker.
And that was at Calcareous?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So started on the ground floor there, just doing sampling and cleaning concrete and scrubbing the stainless out. And then I've asked questions from there and kept learning and learning and learning. And
surf rat, sailor rat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's jump back into the surfing portion. I mean, you got here and you were going to Cal Poly. So immediately, I mean, on the Cal Poly surf map, did you just start going out and surfing the rock and all the beach breaks first? Or what kind of drew you and what spots?
With my friends, basically, they'd always come back and I was intrigued.
Yeah.
It's like, that looks like a good time. I like going to the ocean. I like going to Montana Doro,
but
I'd like to get in there. Right. So they drove me out. As being someone who knew nothing about the ocean, just give me some loner board and a loner wetsuit and School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Go paddle out at Cables out at Montana Doro. And I would say for about a year, I think I made it outside once and never even attempted to surf or stand up or paddle or do anything. But that's where the true love of surfing came in, because It was miserable while I was doing it, and I was just being punished. But boy, did I feel good afterwards. And I learned to just really love The fact that you're out in this ocean and you're looking back at Monte Nidoro and you're experiencing just this beautiful landscape, and it isn't about catching a wave, and it isn't about like how beautiful the swell is. Those are all bonuses. The real what it was about was that you're going out the ocean, and all of a sudden everything else in your mind was gone. And it was just like, here comes a wave. How are you going to deal with this? How are you going to go over this one? You're going under this one. Is this one taking you down to the bottom? Is this one going to wash you back to shore? And just all of a sudden being in that realm where everything else was gone and all of your worries are gone, nothing to even think about except for what you're doing right there and then, which is paddling against these oncoming waves.
Yeah, everybody that's listening to this show completely gets that. You know, I mean, that's, yeah, you explained it very well. Here's the thing I wanted to kind of tie in between winemakers and surfers, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a surfer, you show up at the beach, and if you've been around long enough, you kind of look to see where the channel might be or a rip so you can get out quicker because it might look like a hard paddle out. Or you see a peak that you think is a little bit better than maybe this other one down the beach. So you observe things.
Yeah.
And then I know that winemakers observe their vineyards.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye on certain rows. The weather and the elevation affects one varietal to another, the water and this and that. So that similarity of nature and being able to read things, I think, are, you know, they're not exclusive to, but I think as a surfer, I think it works really well as a winemaker.
Surfing really teaches you to take your time and observe what nature's doing and what's out there and use all your senses that you have to take that all in. And that definitely plays into winemaking, which is just get away from it all and get out into that vineyard and walk around and just see the different colors, see which way the wind's blowing, see which way the sun's hitting things. And, it all becomes to kind of tell the story to you of what's happening out there. So, you know, that's a key thing to surfing is, you might look at these surfers. They're not really, you know, just getting out there and doing whatever. But if you don't have a plan, you're not thinking about it, and you don't sit there and drink your coffee on the beach or get up on a bluff and see what's going out there, see, well, there's six guys on that peak, but that peak just in the north is empty and I can get out there and not have to deal with the crowd. There's all these different things you can think about of like how your day is going to go, how the approach is going to go. And that dovetails straight into winemaking, where you really want to, you know, express what's happening on the land and the nature. And then again, express your own like desires and opinions about what's going to happen or where you're going to take it. And if you take that time to really look at it, slow down, clear everything else out, and just look at the vineyard, taste the grapes. If you take your time, it'll tell you what to do.
For me, and a lot of people, surfing after a while becomes instinctive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I would never think that winemaking is instinctive. But basically, you're saying that
it's completely instinctive. Yeah. The first thing I ever really started to, I came from a chemistry background, so a science background, and everyone just who initially talks to me and asks me questions just assume I'm going to be a real science-driven winemaker and use a lot of instruments and analysis. And I hate all that stuff. I throw it out the window because I got to realize that what's the point of our senses? You know, why do we have taste buds and eyes? It's to take in nature and let it tell us the story. And with grapes, you know, we have the most amazing pH and flavor meter built right into us. You can taste grapes and it'll tell you so much. I don't need to run it through a machine to tell me. I don't want the machine to tell me what it's. I want to know what it's going to taste like to me, because that's the end of the day. That's just drinking my wine. It's not going into some GC mass spec. My wine's going into other people who are going to taste it. And so to just really learn to trust your senses and your basic instincts of being a living, breathing, sensing person, you know, that's really what, you know, the winemaking expression is to take all that in and then make an aesthetic decision about like, all right, I want to maximize what I'm getting from this fruit, and I'm going to try and express that into the wine.
So we're talking olfactory, you know, right there in the middle of your brain, right? I think that's the pleasure center, isn't it, for surfing? I could be wrong. Someone might correct me on this one. You can email me at surftalkradio.com. You said something about patience, you know, and senses. You know, with patience, surfing, yeah, obviously. I mean, every day you're just not going to get good waves.
No.
You know?
Especially on the Central Coast.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. We get a lot of surf, but yeah. I mean, springtime is coming, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to blow, you know? Then there are days where we get our due, you know? And I guess out in the vineyard, you've got to make sure that you've tended it just right so you can get the most out of those grapes. Otherwise, you can end up with something that's not right. So, as a winemaker, you spend a lot of time in the vineyard. Is that it? Basically, you're in the dirt all the time?
Yeah, I mean, because it's nice to have our winery right on the top of our vineyards. So, it's part of the daily routine is to go look around. What's going on out here? What's happening here right now? You know, it's February. Why is there a bud break? It's what we're thinking right now. It's you know. But,
is there a bud break in February?
Oh yeah, we're about 40. Our Syrah is 40 days ahead of where it was last year.
Wow.
So
and last year was early too. Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
But that's the things. That's why you got to get out there, because if you just have in the back of your mind, it's like, well, bud breaks in April, and then
yeah.
It's like no. You got to get out there and see what's actually happening.
So are you going to actually have to consider spraying pretty soon?
We're just frantically now just trying to prune and get
let's get
this through. But no, you know, spring is the roughest season. Not only are the waves bad, but then there's the whole anxiety for the whole year is condensed really into spring, because spring is our time of bud break and the potential for frost.
Yeah.
So if things are going to happen, really what's going to happen for the vintage, it's happening right now. So it's the edge of the seat time right now.
I'm here with winemaker Jason Joyce from Calcareous, and I want to tell anybody, if you go up Peachy Canyon Road, you'll love the views and the wine at Calcareous. I've already done it. And here's the thing. I'm thinking about that vineyard, and I'm thinking about the bottom of it when I drive up that hill. So you've got a lot of elevation. You were just talking about frost.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, do you put more frost-resistant wines at the bottom of the vineyard, or is that just you have to place wines where they grow up based on your elevation? How's that work?
Well, you just plant on what land you have,
yeah.
But the advantage of planting on a steep hillside, and we are planted on steep hillside, is the air is a medium just like water. It flows.
Yeah.
And so as the air cools and flows down, it moves, and generally, you know, the colder air drops. And so by going on a steep hillside, we very rarely have frost issues in our location. I think 2011, the massive, horrible frost that hit California was the only time that we've ever experienced the very, very bottom of one of our Syrah blocks got hit. But for the most part, we're so steep, and there's so much kind of natural air movement to that steepness that the cool air doesn't just sit and frost as much. So it's a nice advantage if you're out there, instead of installing windmills and blowers and stuff like that, just you know, plant on a steep hillside. But then, you know, the pluses and minuses, then you got to farm it and walk it. That's not as fun.
So how long of a drive is it to the first place you could surf?
So basically, Studios or Toro Creek is going to be your first. You're going to go out 46 and then out Old Creek
Road,
you
go that way,
and straight into Cayucas.
All right.
I've always, you kind of have to make that decision. I don't know if people are familiar with San Luis Obispo, but you kind of pick your lifestyle of what kind of surfer you're going to be. Are you going to be down at Shell Beach and Pismo,
yeah.
or are you going to go out to the Northern Wilds?
Right.
I picked right away. It was kind of forced on me, my love of the madness of Montana de Oro, just getting out there and just the full brunt of the wave. It's rougher, and but it's beautiful up there.
Yeah, the payoff in the park is definitely I mean, let's face it, that's northwest exposure, deeper water. You know, maybe be the first place to blow every once in a while, and sometimes it can get packed up, but any place can get packed up. But yeah, I think I agree with what you're shooting for there.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting up to close to 15 minutes, and I got to run up into a commercial, but I want to thank you for coming on the program. And anything you want to close up about wine surfing or your winery in particular out there at Calcareous?
I fully endorse surfing as it's a great tool that plays in the rest of your life, because it's a certain amount of delayed gratification to it all. You know, and that's something you really got to work with in the wine industry is nothing happens overnight in wine. There's a lot of waiting that takes place, waiting for things to age, waiting for vineyards to grow, waiting for things to ripen. There's a lot of waiting, and there's a lot of hard work that goes in there, and thankless tasks. And to me, that's, you know, surfing, there's a lot of thankless paddling that goes on. There's a lot of duck dives and cold hurting ears that take place. But that moment, you know, when you finally get outside and you get to sit there on your board and watch the pelicans fly by, watch a dolphin come up, just start staring out and trying to read the swell. It's kind of like that same experience you get when you finally get to sit down and actually drink that glass of wine.
Awesome. I
you know,
that, yeah.
It's just all that work and then there you go. And so it's just a reminder that, you know, things shouldn't be easy. And there is a certain great satisfaction. That's why I do have a great respect for winemakers and surfers, because it's not just a cool thing to say. It's like, oh, I'm a surfer, I'm a winemaker. When you know people that really do it, you realize how much effort it actually takes to go get it. And but you get a wonderful experience from that journey.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Mark.
And my guest was winemaker at Calcareous, Jason Joyce. You can see and find Calcareous at calcareous.com or drive up on Paso's west side, Apache Canyon Drive. This is Surf Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
I like to rest my heavy head tonight on the bed. The California stars, I like to play my weary bones tonight on the bed. The California stars, I love to feel your hand touching mine. Tell me why I must keep working on. Yes, I'll give my life to lay my head tonight on a bed of California stars.
Getting your energy from natural foods tastes better because it is better. Alta-Farm energy bars are packed with premium fruits, nuts, and grains that taste amazing and give you long-lasting energy, naturally. Alta-Farm natural energy bars have quality ingredients and are sourced from seasonal crops, farmers markets, and local orchards, all providing fresh, roasted nuts, plus seasonal whole berries and fruit. No powder, supplements, or additives, just natural ingredients off the farm. Go to offthefarmfoods.com and find out more about these amazing energy bars. You'll also find Alta-Farm energy bars at most local coffee houses and stores that care about your health. Look for the blue, green, and red wrappers. Off the Farm energy bars taste better naturally.
Decided House Frame Furniture and Scott Her Cushions with mats and shag pipe covers.
Hey, this is CJ Hobgood, and you dudes are listening to Surf Talk Radio.
FCS, a name we all know means innovation in equipment, like the FCS fin system and all its forward thinking and fin design. FCS just affects the way we ride. Now at surffcs.com, you can see everything FCS is working on and has to offer, like board bags, from the lightweight, versatile day runner to double and triple travel bags. FCS travel board bags are made durable and will hold up to a beating. Go to surffcs.com and see it all. When you go to the site, besides finding the right fin for the job, you'll see there's all kinds of accessories from backpacks, leashes, rash guards, booties, gloves, and luggage. Right now, if you go online to surffcs.com and locate your closest test drive center, you can try any FCS fin system they have to offer, like the FCS H2, designed and tested to push your performance. Find FCS products at Wavelengths, Ponchos, CCS, Moondoggies, Shell Beach Surf Shop, Morro Bay Surf Company, Coupe de Ville Surfboards, and One Wave Board Shop. Or go to surffcs.com and see it all. FCS just affects the way we ride.
This is Radio B92, Serbia calling.
The Magnificent!
You're listening to the Ride Bareback Network. Let's Surf Talk Radio, boys!
Introducing the
fun. Then you can damage the code. Then you're a candidate.